Dr. Marketing Tips, paging Dr. Marketing Tips. Dr. Marketing Tips, you're needed in the marketing department.
Welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Podcast, your prescription to the answers you seek to grow your medical practice easier, better, and faster. This show is all about connecting practice administrators and medical marketing professionals with peers working in practices, learning from experiences, making mistakes, and sharing successes. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dr. Marketing Tip Show. I'm Corey.
And I'm Jennifer.
And today we're talking about reputation management, but not reputation management how you may have been thinking about it. So a lot of times in the past, we say reputation management is really just sort of the, you know, making sure your directory listings are claimed and soliciting reviews, and then having that good sort of online profile. And that's obviously still important, but reputation is kind of shifting. And so what we wanted to talk about was what these shifts actually mean for you in your practice and how you can best understand them and then take advantage of kind of what's going on out there.
Absolutely. And when it comes to reputation and online directories and things of that nature, reputation is, if you think of marketing as kind of like a wheel, and there's many spokes to the wheel. There's, you know, SEO, there's your website, there's content development, there's social media, and there's reputation. And reputation is one spoke in the wheel, but if you take it out of the wheel, the bicycle probably isn't going to get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to focus on reputation and directory listings because they are truly your digital front door to your practice. No longer is it just social media or just website or, you know, just word of mouth. The fact is, if it weren't for reputation and the ecosystem that reputation has created, people wouldn't be able to find your practice and you wouldn't be able to compete. And so your role as a marketer, whether that's externally marketing your practice or whether that's internally as a side job that's part of your role, your job is to make sure that that ecosystem is healthy and that it's operating. Because back in the day, it used to be easy to say, look, I've claimed my directories and I'm out there monitoring my reviews and I'm good to go. But the fact is, things have shifted. And it's no longer good enough just to worry about making sure that it's accurate. Now there's other things that come into play.
Yeah, and you know, we all know that patients, a lot of times, the reviews really matter to them. I'll just read off a couple of stats. 58% of patients say that the accuracy of info online impacts who they choose. So that's your hours, your phone number, your website, insurances accepted, those kinds of things. And 59.1% of patients say that anything less than 4 stars is a deterrent. And about 40% say that availability of reviews actually matters. So in other words, they want to see reviews, make sure that you are legit and that the reviews are good because they're going to compare apples to apples and look at who's in the space around you. And if that competitor is better or has a significant amount more total reviews, then they're going to go in that direction. And you know, we've been saying that forever. That part is not new. But the thing to remember is that there's this collection of directories that all kind of feed up into this. I was actually on a call yesterday with a mental health group, and we were going through some reputation things. And we were saying that Google actually, there's a couple things that really matter. One is prevalence of reviews, so how many you have, but also where those are and what those directories are. So there's something like 60 different directory sites that Google kind of culls to say this is correct. And so if you're doing this manually, you may have only claimed, you know, maybe Google, maybe Bing, maybe Health Grades, you know, kind of the big ones. But there's all these other little ones you think that, well, those don't really matter. But what we're starting to find is because of this ecosystem that you were just talking about, Jen, those do matter and they do play a small part in accuracy, because if there's different information across all of those, then you get dinged on the bigger ones. So it all sort of feeds up and plays into each other.
Yeah, again, it's an ecosystem. And if that ecosystem isn't healthy, it has downstream effects. And you know, one day asleep at the wheel could really impact your practice because your competitors are now pushing down on the throttle to really start, you know, with full integrations and interoperability, just making sure that they've made this process seamless. So the reason I wanted to talk about this in the episode today is partly I have a group that I work with where every year or two I'm asked to come in and present to the physicians on what our, not just our marketing strategy is for the practice, but really what our reputation strategy is. And this is a great process that this practice goes through. You know, it's always, what have you done for us lately? And what are you planning to do? They always want to be kind of ahead of the curve. So I've done a bunch of deep dives recently into looking at reputation, looking at directory listings, and truly trying to understand what the strategy is, or really how to articulate what the strategy is, just so that the layman can kind of understand it. And it comes from, and maybe you understand this at your practice, but you know, we have a couple of doctors at this one group that are running rogue. And because they're running rogue and they're doing some things on the side on their own, as it relates to getting more reviews, it's kind of bringing to the forefront, like, should we be doing something different as a practice? And it came back to, I was talking to the CEO and I said, look, it's great that these doctors are running rogue. If they want to increase their online reviews, that's great for the practice as a whole. But I think our strategy is we need to be, you know, stay true and steady on where we're headed. Because if these doctors, if we were to focus on one doctor over another and that doctor were to leave, he would just take those years of hard work with him. And I want to keep that into perspective. So there's kind of four main areas when we're talking about online reviews and reputation management in general that you really should be focused on from a marketing perspective or from an ops perspective, just to make sure you have your hands around it. The first is making sure that the data online is accurate. You know, that's where, you know, it plays into this digital front door, like what you were just saying with those like downstream sites. Like, you have to make sure that all your data is accurate, because as all the research says, like almost 40% of people say, like, if the data's not right, I may not choose that provider. They also may not be able to find your office, pick up the phone, or do anything.
That same meeting that I was in yesterday, one conversation piece, somebody, I think it was their chief operations officer, said, if we fix these listings, will it fix the pin on Apple Maps? Because when you put it into your GPS, it takes you across the river. So it's the right address, but it's on the wrong side of the river, which to me sounds like a problem if you're a patient trying to get
to
the
office. Well, it is. And that's kind of the next piece, as it says, data, the accuracy of data. So you got to ensure the accuracy of data. And what I mean by that is your map listings and the directory listings. And Maps isn't just Google Maps, it's also Apple Maps. And then it's not just making sure that it's pinning in the right place and sending people to the right place, but, and I'm sure folks that are watching or listening to this episode are gonna think about this too, like, it's about your practice name showing up, especially if you're near the hospital or something like that. You want it to be the hospital's name, you know, McDonald's, and you. Mm-hmm. And you want to show up on those maps. It's not as important as it might be to you or I, to the average person, because when they're looking for you, they're going to search it a certain way. But that is all part of this management of the data. And that's kind of phase one as it relates to reputation.
Yeah. And all of that kind of feeds into just, you know, the overall strategy, which again, if you've ever watched or listened to the show, you know that one of the things that we always want to do is own the most amount of real estate on a Google search results page. So if you have your directory listing set, if you have your map accuracy, if you have a content strategy, again, different spoke on the wheel, different episode, but all of those things kind of play together to say, all right, we've got an ad on top, then we've got our map, we've got our listing over on the right side, then we've got some organic listings there. And then lo and behold, we own, you know, 60 to 70%
That's right.
of that first page of Google, which means your competitors don't.
That's exactly the case. So the second kind of piece of the equation, like if reputation were its own wheel and there was these spokes, the second spoke in this wheel, is monitoring the reviews. So monitoring what people are saying about you and then taking action. And what I mean by that is, after you have everything claimed and you're kind of really focused on that front page of Google or Bing or whatever it is, you want to solicit reviews. And I don't mean you just want to solicit, I mean you want to automate that process. You want to take the human out of it, and there's a couple ways that you can go about that. And we really should be looking at our partners now and saying, I no longer want to manually send you a list once a week. Instead, I want to integrate it, even if there's a cost up front. And I'll later on in this episode, I will share some statistics as to why. And these will be real world from a case study that I'm working on right now. So the very first thing is you want to solicit reviews, not just your happy patients. You want to solicit all patients, and you want to do that because of volume. The next thing you want to do is really pay attention to your star ratings. If you have, five-star reviews are great, but 2 and 3-star reviews are even more important because you need to triage those. And you need to have a plan in place for soliciting reviews and triaging negative reviews. And yes, eventually you're going to respond to them online so other people can see it in a very HIPAA-compliant way. But the reality is when a negative comes in, you really do need to have some kind of plan in place to stop what you're doing and deal with that negative review so that negativity doesn't become viral and it doesn't get kind of lost out there into the ecosystem. Because once you pollute the ecosystem, it can then work downstream.
Yeah, and those negative reviews, those are learning opportunities as well. So you by soliciting reviews of all the patients, yeah, you're going to get your satisfied patients, but you're also going to get the people that have a complaint about the rude front desk person or whatever the case may be. And that allows you to identify and sort of track whatever sentiment that is, and then understand if a change needs to be made that, you as an operations person, as a marketing person, as a manager, executive, C-suite, whatever position that you're in, you may not know that otherwise. So it's so important to pay attention to those things. And odds are, and this is a concern, I think, of a lot of folks is, well, if we review everyone, we're going to get more negatives. And I mean, yeah, that's true. You are going to get more just because you're going to ask everyone. But also, if you're in business at a practice, you're probably doing a pretty good job and you're going to have a lot of positives. And they're going to far outweigh the negatives, but the negatives are still going to be a valuable tool to improve.
Well, and here's the thing. You're going to get negatives whether you ask for them or not, because if somebody's upset,
squeaky
they're going to leave
the
you
grease.
The negative.
Yeah.
So I would say, because I get this question a lot, like, Jen, what are you doing to deal with negative reviews or to deal with our reputation? I'm not doing anything, doctor or practice administrator, to deal with your negative reviews other than triage. I am focused on getting us more reviews and making sure that our digital footprint is solid so that people can find us, so that we show up in the right place at the right time. And when they need proof as to all these happy people that make up our 4.7 star rating across 8,200 review sites, I need to have proof out there that they can see when they're at that point of making a decision for the practice. So we want to send it to everybody, and then we want to plan in place to triage the negatives. Which leads me kind of to the third piece of what you should be doing. That is that you should be looking at the sentiment, looking at what those negative reviews are saying to you, and then using that internally to improve operations or to communicate for a job well done. If you're not taking what's being said out in the universe and making sure that you're doing something to improve or to share with your team, then it's just sitting out in the universe and you're not improving along the way.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that a lot of people, even if they have those first two phases kind of covered, they fall down a little bit when it comes to sharing that with the team, positive or negative. I remember in the ENT practice that we used to work with, they always liked at least once a month to send the positive reviews to the doctors and the clinical team so that they knew what people were saying about them and if they were providing great service or whatever the case may be, in great bedside manner. Because kind of put a little pep in their step to know that they were still doing a good job and people were talking about them.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think you don't want to put your head in the sand, because if I recall, that same practice often would put their head in the sand because they didn't have enough people to answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And the reviews would come in, so they would say, well, we don't want to ask and we don't want to know.
Right.
And you need to take the negatives and use them as a learning tool. You know, if you have something really negative that's an outlier, you're going to find out about it and you're going to resolve it. Ultimately, though, the gist of the negatives, you're probably already going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, we want to be delicate in the way that we're delivering that to an already overworked workforce. But at the same time, we don't want to pretend it's not happening.
Right, exactly.
And we don't want everything to be positive. I can't remember the exact stat, but, 5.0 star rating is not what you want. You want like a 4.6 to a 4.8, because not everyone's perfect.
Yeah, I remember the stat that you're referencing. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 4.5 to 4.8, something like that, because that seems real. Whereas five, well, that means you're perfect. And we all know
I don't know
that,
about you, but I don't know anybody that's perfect.
Exactly.
Even you, Corey.
I try.
You do a pretty good job. And then kind of the final piece from a reputation and directory standpoint, and I keep saying them separate because I really want to drive home the fact that they're very connected as part of the same ecosystem, but they're very different work products. So the kind of the next piece of it is to focus on, now that you've got your, you know, accuracy of your information online, you're soliciting reviews, you're triaging your negatives, you have a star rating out there, you have an NPS score, you have all this great data and great reviews, now you should use it in your marketing. You should use it in your marketing and use it to create social proof, which helps feed the ecosystem. And so what I mean by that is, at least for us, there's a couple ways that we use for all of our reviews and lean into it. One is on every website that we build for the most part, we will on the doctor pages put a widget in there that's pulling all of their reviews. I think we only pull the like 3, 4, and 5-star reviews to put on that homepage of the doctor's section. But this is a good way to, when somebody's going and researching that particular doctor on the website, for them to see those reviews in real time.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it just provides that social proof. And if you have a lot of reviews, which if you're doing this right, you will, it makes the choice that much easier for patients because they're going to go, they're going to look at the bio, they're going to see the video overview of the doctor and say, he or she looks like someone that I vibe with, like we get along. And then below that, there's a whole bunch of reviews that talk about how great the doctor is. So again, it just makes that choice that much easier.
It makes it so easy to say, click, book an appointment. Mm-hmm. Another way that we use reviews is we pull down positive reviews and we share them in social.
Yeah.
We put them in the practices branding and we put them on there and put the doctor's picture if it's about the doctor and we share it across our social channels. And granted, you know, you don't want to clog up your feed, but people aren't going to your feed. You just want to be on other people's feed and make sure that it's there when people are looking.
Yeah, and the added benefit of that too is typically if a happy patient sees that, gets a hold of it, and they'll say, oh, I saw Dr. Smith too, and she was great. And then they'll leave a comment about that or they're shared or whatever.
I've got 20 examples I can show you of where that exactly happened.
Or what I see a lot of times is even if they don't comment, they'll just tag another random person. You know, and so then to me that tells me they were having a conversation about this experience that they had at XYZ orthopedic practice, and then they see the review and they tag that person to say, see, I told you that they were good, you know.
So. Absolutely. Another place you can use reviews is in if you're still doing print ads or flyers or things like that, you know, and maybe you have a new office opening and you have a doctor that's gonna practice at that particular office and you say like, Dr. Smith, now seeing patients in hometown USA, you know, and then, you know, underneath his picture, you can say 4 out of 5 stars, over 5,000 reviews on Google.
Yep.
Social proof.
Absolutely.
And then kind of the last place that we're using them, I mean, there's probably other places, but one of the last places for prints of my example, we're using them in, if we're doing like an education series or a drip campaign or something to that effect. So I'm working on like a drip series right now for a knee automation, you know, for really pushing knee replacement. And in there, we've got some testimonials that we kind of drip throughout the series. But then we're also just grabbing verified reviews on Google or health grades where people are saying, hey, I had my hip done with this doctor. I've had my hip done with this doctor, just to kind of reinforce that social proof.
Yeah, it's great to have on the bottom of email newsletters. So whatever, you know, you've got your main message up top, new office, new provider, whatever piece of news you've got. And then below that, you just, every time you send one of these things out, just change out whatever reviews are featured there. And again, it's just more social proof.
Absolutely. So a couple things that I want to talk about that. So we've got this practice that I'm working on in terms of putting together this report for them. And the strategy really is, you know, we need more reviews. But in order to do that, we need to automate the process. We need to make sure the data remains accurate. And then we need to kind of give ourselves, you know, do some housekeeping and just make sure that we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing. So as it relates to kind of those four areas that we've been talking about, this is a 20-plus provider practice, roughly 5 or 6 offices, things of that nature. Last year in 2023, I'm getting ready to present to them, we managed 2,628 listings across 60 different websites. So if you think I have a practice of about 20 doctors, that equated to 2,600 different listings. So this process is probably a little bigger than a single person on your staff. Keep that in mind.
It's a lot of listings for 20 people.
It's a ton of listings. And then when we add in locations and PAs and things of that nature, what that ended up being from our kind of like monitoring and taking action side of things, it's 46 profiles. They do not have an automation yet for sending reviews, so it's a very manual process. Through that manual process, we sent about 12,000 reviews. We got about 11% of the solicitations that we sent resulted in receiving a review last year. And of that, we had about 10% that we ended up having to triage. And so that 10% are what would have been negative that we ended up having to work behind the scenes to get those removed or get them taken down or things of that nature. And that's just 2023 data before we've automated this process for the client to make it easier. And again, if you think about it, you need either an agency that you're working with that's handling this for you, or you're going to need a full-time person to do this type of thing if you're this level of a practice. And go ahead.
And that conversion rate, that 11% of people that actually reviewed, those were just emails, correct?
Yeah, they were just emails that were sent out, I think. And then the next piece of that is we took the data, especially from the negatives, and on a very regular basis, we send that to operations, and they work with us to make operational changes that then can that are a direct result of those negative reviews that come in. And then we use the positives. And I didn't mention this before, but we use sometimes the positives for social reinforcement on their intranet. So we have like a social feed that's closed loop on the intranet for this practice. And sometimes we'll use the ones where staff's been called out to recognize staff for a job well done. And occasionally we'll take those externally too. So when you're sharing those positive insights from an operational standpoint, it helps from an employee engagement as well.
Oh, 100%.
And then finally, you know, I kind of shared to it before, but we take all those reviews and we put them on the physician pages and we use them in social and we're using them in advertising and things of that nature. So I think this is a really good place to stop for today, because the fact is we've talked about what it is you should be doing right now. You should be maintaining accuracy of all your listings. That includes your maps, your SEO, your directory listings across, you know, 2,000 plus websites. I mean, that's a big job. And you should be soliciting for reviews. And if there was one thing, only one thing you were going to do to change, I would really recommend that you look at either an SFTP or an HL7 or something so that you can really automate this process in a full-on integration. And if you do those two things, at least you're doing the bare minimum.
Yeah, automation is the name of the game, just to ensure that there's no potential for errors and it doesn't matter if someone is out or sick or whatever the case may be, you are still going to be collecting those reviews and you know, doing the things that we know that you need to be doing.
That's right. And then the next episode, part two of this episode, we're going to talk about understanding the exact moment that your competition is putting the pedal to the metal. And we're going to talk about what you can actually do to differentiate yourself when it comes to your other practices. Because everybody has a 4.5, 4.7, 4.9 star reviews across 5,000 different reviews online. At this point, we're all the same. If the playing field's been leveled, what can we do to get ahead?
Yeah, what are some of those opportunities to differentiate yourself and kind of stand head and shoulders above the competition? That's what we're going to talk about next time.
Awesome. So with that, I'm Jennifer.
I'm Corey.
We'll see you next time on the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. Thanks a bunch.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DrMarketingTips.com podcast. If there's anything from today's show you want to learn more about, check out DrMarketingTips.com for our podcast resource center with all the notes, links, and goodies we mentioned during the show. If you're not already a subscriber to our show, please consider pressing the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss one of our future episodes. And if you haven't given us a rating or review yet on iTunes, please find a spare minute and help us reach and educate even more of our medical practice peers. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Doctor's Orders.